This week's mailbag comes to us from Lorraine. I joined All Access last fall as a last resort in trying to get organized. I have tried different times during our 26-year marriage to find a way to finally organize our home. I thought if I could organize my life, then the investment would be well worth it. I'm telling you, it is well worth it. I am finally getting my house organized. I have set up a Sunday basket and two workboxes that have created a system that I only work on one day a week as opposed to seven. My husband knows where I expect things to go now, but the measurable value was when I found almost $1,200 in lost checks when I went to the paper retreat this past weekend. My found money has paid for the all-access investment that I made in October and then some. Lisa says that you will find time and money by doing the 100-day home organization program. It is so true. I have found so much value in organizing my own home that I am launching my own professional organizing business. Yep, I'm part of that 10% that Lisa mentions in her podcasts. Thanks to Lisa Woodruff and her amazing team. My experience working with them has been truly life-changing. Thank you, Lorraine. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I have often shared with you that decluttering leads to organization, leads to increased productivity. It is a cycle that goes round and round and round. You declutter, then you get organized, then you increase productivity. I've also shared with you that you need to go through a space three times in order to achieve maximum productivity or to get all the way through the cycle. The first time through, you'll spend the bulk of your time decluttering, a little organizing, maybe even no increase in productivity. The second time through, you'll probably declutter half the time, organize a little less than half the time, and start to reap the benefits of increased productivity. And then the third time through a space, you'll spend very little time decluttering, still half or more time organizing, and then the bulk of your time in increased productivity. As we go through this cycle, as you go through your house over and over and over again, or even just think about sitting down to your desk and you have to go through email, you go through the exact same cycle. The first thing you do is open up your email, declutter as much as possible. What's just junk? What can you get out of there? Then you kind of glance at all the titles and kind of organize your time. If you have only 10 or 15 minutes, you might look to see, are there any important emails that need your attention right now? Or what can wait until later? Maybe it's been a while since you've sat down and done this at your email and you've carved out a good 90 minutes and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to knock these out, but I want to knock out the ones that are easiest first. So I'm going to set my timer for 20 minutes and knock out as many as I possibly can and then dive into the harder emails. So you're decluttering, organizing, and increasing your productivity every time you do every single thing that you do. Along the way, in organizing your house, your organization looks different in each space, in each time of year that you organize, depending on how much time you've been organizing. And you will ask me questions on social media, in the 100-day group, just all over the place. And over the last couple of months, I've been saving some of these questions so that I could answer them in the category of decluttering, organizing, or increasing productivity. And these podcasts are going to be shorter. They won't be an hour long. They might only be 15, 20 minutes. But I want them to be very specific based on what area that we're getting done. Okay, so for this first podcast, we're going to really deep dive into decluttering. So we're going to talk about decluttering, and I have three questions here that I'm going to answer. The first one says, while decluttering today, I had a few ideas for podcast. I think you asked for ideas on Instagram. Yes, thank you very much for emailing me. Could you talk more about the mindset of not bringing too much stuff into the house? While I am far, far from being a minimalist, I would like to learn how to decide when purchasing new things if it is truly needed. I pretty much think this would be useful because of blank, which is important to our family. Therefore, as long as it's not too expensive, it's okay that I get it. There are a lot of flaws in that thinking, particularly how a lot of small purchases can add up to be expensive, and that a lot of small purchases can add up and take up space, which is frustrating. I guess I have trouble understanding what's truly a need, an okay luxury, an essential. Even if something is really important, how do you decide if it's okay to get it? Classic decluttering question. So, as you all know, I spent forever teaching my daughter how to organize her room, and after about 9 months of it, she realized that if she had less stuff, she would see less of me. And that's when she said, "Let's start getting rid of some of this stuff." And she stopped bringing so much new stuff in as well because she realized the amount of stuff was causing her to constantly have to declutter before she could even get to the organizing stage. So this question is from Marie. And Marie, I love that you are thinking along these lines because you truly are starting to live a more productive and organized life. And when we aren't organized or we struggle to be organized, it is faster and easier to just go out and get the thing we want, or when we see it, when we're out, buy it so that we don't have to go out later and purchase it. Because we are so used to not having enough time, not having enough planning time before we do things, that we just buy stuff and get stuff so we have it on hand so that it will save us time. As you start to live an organized and productive life, you realize that those items that you're just picking up just in case or so you don't have to run out again, when you bring them home, are actually costing you time because now your house is organized. So this thing has to have a place to go, but it doesn't have a place to go because it wasn't a necessity. It was just something that you bought in case. So what used to help you is no longer helping you because now your home is actually organized. So I love that you're bringing that up. I would say about the time that I realized this myself, I didn't really realize it in the way I just articulated it to you. It was along those budgeting issues as well, Marie, where I was like, well, it's not too expensive and I'll buy it and bring it home because I'm always trying to maximize my time. Like if I could save time by buying a $5 or $10 item when I'm at the store that I may or may not need, but then I don't have to spend 30 minutes some other day going to the store just to buy a $5 or $10 item, I would always buy the $5 or $10 item because my time was more important than the money. But just like you, Marie, same exact thing. I was like, oh my gosh, I have an Amazon bill for like $150 of stuff that I really didn't need. Like I didn't need it. But it was so easy to order it and just have it shipped that I did. And I don't know, you could probably return on Amazon, but I never did. So I created for myself a 24-hour rule. And I've gotten more strict and created a would I read it right now rule for books. So the 24-hour rule is this. If I can get the project started in 24 hours, like if I'm going to need the item that I have in my hand to purchase or the thing that I want to purchase on Amazon, and I will start that project in the next 24 hours, then I am allowed to buy it. If not, then I have to wait. And one of the reasons this is okay to do now was harder to do when I first did this rule 20 years ago. It's because basically anything you order on Amazon, you can get within 48 hours. Like it's not like it's going to take 3 weeks for you to get whatever it is you want, right? And what I found I was doing was I was buying stuff for projects. So I don't know what your Achilles heel is, but for me, it's books and it's projects. If there's a book I like, I will buy it. Sometimes I will buy it on Audible and in print or Kindle and in Audible. Like I will buy it multiple times. And if it's anything related to a project, I want to have all the pieces and parts. So whenever I have time to work on the project, I can get started. And what I found I was doing was I was buying stuff to like redo a kid's bedroom or redo a bathroom or work on my scrapbooking project or any. I would buy so much stuff that I would literally have like 20 projects going on at any one time, which was costing me money, but also I didn't have space for all of this stuff, you know, that I was buying that was going to be consumed. I didn't have enough space. So what I found I was doing once I started getting my home organized was I also started tackling my projects. So I would pull everything I needed to do Abby's room. I would set aside the weekend. I would actually reorganize, redecorate her room, donate everything I could, put away everything we were going to use the next time I needed to paint or decorate a room, and get rid of that project. And I probably had 20 projects on my list when I started this. And it took me, I think, a year and a half to get through all those projects. And some of them I just got rid of because I didn't want to do that project anymore. So I put myself on a no new projects diet. Like, if I wanted something to do, I literally had a list of the projects I had already started, and I had to pick something off that list and actually finish it, complete it, put all that stuff away. And so I didn't buy any new projects. I had to do the same thing with books. I probably had 40 books at that time that I had purchased, and I had either started chapters 1 and 2 or I had not even started them yet. And so I put all the books in one area. And every time I wanted to read the next new book that I'd heard about on a podcast or wherever, I forced myself to go to the bookshelf where I had the 40 books that I had already purchased because I was so excited about those books. And I said, you have to pick something from this book, this list, and you have to start reading these books. I probably read about 25 of them and ended up donating 15 without ever reading them. And then after I got through the projects and after I got through the books, I made these rules, this 24-hour rule. If I saw a project when I was out or a book from a podcast or whatever, and I could start reading or start doing the project within 24 hours, I was allowed to buy it. And then I had to get started within 24 hours. If I could not, I had to wait. It had to go like on a wish list or something. Now, I am a projectaholic and a bookaholic. So I had waited so long that I would order books, and the second they would come in the mail, I would run to the back and I would start reading them. Now I've kind of gotten out of that habit, and I actually have 4 books that I've ordered and I haven't read sitting on the end of this bookshelf, and I'm frustrated with myself for that. So it's a new habit. So hopefully that answered that question. The second question is about photos. I take pictures of areas I want to declutter. Then when I'm away from the area, I look at the picture and I plan out my moves and what I'm going to get rid of. Then when I actually go to carry out my plans, I end up keeping a whole bunch of stuff that I plan to get rid of. For example, pens, pencils, miscellaneous stationery. I planned to purchase a whole bunch of items, but when it came down to actually doing it, I kept way more stuff than I wanted to. How do I follow through with my plans and not second guess my decisions? I love that you're taking photos of the areas that you want to declutter, going away, thinking about it, and then coming back to declutter them. The act of letting go of physical items when they're actually in your hand is, again, just another skill that you have to get used to doing. And really listen to the conversation that you're having in your head. Why is it do you want to keep these items once you're actually touching them that when you were objectively looking at the photo, you didn't? Is it a memory that you want to remember? Is it, you know, not wanting to get rid of stuff that you might need to buy in the future, so it's a money-saving thing? Is it a, well, it's still useful, and I don't just want to throw it away. I don't want it to be part of a landfill. Is it more of an environmental reason? Why is it when you've made the decision you obviously don't need these things anymore, do you want to still hold on to it? And then whichever one of those reasons it is, then start to find a solution for that. So let's say the note card is, I mean, like personally, I don't write thank you notes like I used to. I mean, I do on occasion, but I love to receive handwritten letters, and I used to love to produce handwritten letters. So the stationery would remind me of that part of my life that I don't really do anymore. Couple options. One, you can gather all the stationery you can find in your house and put it in one area, and then really just even once a week, write a thank you note or write a letter to someone and make it a habit that you do as part of your self-care. Two, you can say, this was a great thing that I used to do, but I no longer like to do it, and let it go. So if it's a memory item, then find a way to continue on that project. If it's not, then go ahead and let it go. If it's a financial reason, like I didn't have the money to buy this thing and I don't want to have to pay to rebuy it, and you think you might have to rebuy it, like let's say, like I have a really nice KitchenAid mixer that I got when I got married 24 years ago. I haven't used it in 10 years, but I'm not getting rid of it. It's gorgeous. It's in our basement. If I ever get around to baking cookies someday again for grandchildren or whatever, I still own it. I'm going to keep it. But I'm not going to keep it in my kitchen. It's in my basement. I know where it is. If I need it, I can pull it out. So that was a huge financial investment. It was a great gift that we got. I'm going to keep it. I'm just not going to keep it in our regular area. And I know where that is. I have it written down in my household operations binder. Now, you don't want to have 800 things that you have that way. But I would say, you know, I have like probably 20 or 30 things that are like that. Like I have a turkey roaster pan that I do use to make a turkey a couple times a year, but it's not in my kitchen. It's downstairs. And I know where it is. We have camping supplies, which I hope to never use, but you know, you never know. We still have kids. We might need camping supplies. So we have it. It's out in the shed. So there are some things that you're going to keep because they were a big financial investment and you might need them someday, but they don't need to be in the main living areas of your house. So get them all together, make a list, make sure it's in your operations binder so you know where it is when you need it. And then the last reason you might be holding on to these things are because of the environmental factor. And you know, for many years, I just say declutter, throw it all away, don't worry about it right now, and be more environmentally conscious in the future. And that has worked for me so far. But now that I am pretty organized, I am very environmentally conscious as I am decluttering things. If at all possible, I will donate them to Goodwill, to a homeless shelter, to Children's Hospital, you know, if it's art supplies and stickers and stuff. They love stuff like that. Finding where you can donate things responsibly in your area will take more work. It will slow you down. It may derail you, but you may feel more fulfilled because you decluttered in that manner. So what is the thing that is holding you back when you actually sit down to do the decluttering with the physical object that is not holding you back in the photo? And then email us back and we will continue on this conversation. All right, the last thing I'm going to address here in decluttering is somebody says, could you please just talk about the scarcity mindset versus an abundance mindset? Yes, I definitely can. So I think this is a couple of different things comes up when we talk about scarcity mindset versus abundance mindset. And this is very current lingo, especially inside of the entrepreneurial space. I hear it all the time. I don't know what other spaces are using the abundance versus the scarcity mindset, but essentially it is this. When you look at, do you believe that there's enough pie for everyone? You know, that story of, you know, if you're going to create a widget, do you think that there are only enough customers for the kind of pie that you're making? Or do you think there are enough people to eat all the pies of all the people that are going to make pies in your area? And so you can be the best pie maker you are, and there will always be somebody that wants to have your pie. Is the glass always half full or is it half empty? Like, do you think that there is enough to go around or there isn't enough to go around? And I think that this is not just you know, the current lingo, but I think it is probably partially about how we were raised. If you were a child of the Great Depression, as my grandmother was, you know, she was frugal. She would buy really nice things. She would spend her money. But when my grandfather was 103 and had to be hospitalized for dementia at $10,000 a month, they paid for that for 18 months, and then she lived another 3 years after him, and they still had an inheritance to pass on to their children. Hello! They were very frugal. They were very financially conscious. They took care of their needs and their wants, and she had, you know, gorgeous things, but she had few things, and she did not go for quantity. She went for quality. So the abundance versus the scarcity mindset is just the idea that everything's going to be okay. There's going to be enough to go around. The only time I can really think about that in my own life, other than 2008, was probably in 1999 when the whole big Y2K movement was going on. And if you're too young, let me explain. In 1999, people were worried that when we switched to the year 2000, all the computers would fail because they were not set up to switch that first number from a 1 to a 2. And there was specific fear about the fact that, like, not just your regular personal computer, although that was a thing, they were worried more about, like, bigger analog computers, like, that run railroads and, you know, computers were in everything. And was the coding right in there, or would that create a glitch? And then all of a sudden the whole world would be thrust into darkness and there would be chaos in the streets. And I know it sounds crazy, but let me just tell you how much water and toilet paper I had stockpiled in my basement just in case the entire world shut down. And I'm not the only one. Like, it sounds ridiculous now, but anyway. At that time, I was very prone to conspiracy theories and, you know, this way is the only right way. I was in my 20s. This way is the only right way. Everyone has to believe what I believe. I'm not that way anymore. I'm much more globally minded. I'm much more accepting. I'm much more love the debate, love to hear different thoughts and views on different things. And I just love the individuality of people. But at that time, I was very concerned about taking care of me and my house and my own. And what I think comes down to of the difference of the abundancy or the scarcity mindset is not just, do you think there's enough for everybody, or a socialist mindset that everybody should have equal, but more for me, the goodness of the humanity. Like, when bad things really happen, like, I go back to my experience. Obviously, Y2K did not happen. But do you know what did happen? Hurricanes, fires, tornadoes, 2008 and 9. Like, bad things have happened. The World Trade Center's collapse. You know, when these big bad things really truly happen, in my mind, I had been told what will happen is there will be anarchy in the streets and there will be government rule and you will have to be able to make food inside of your house with your own water. That has never happened. That has never happened. When tragedy happens here in America, where I live, everybody rallies to help each other. Like, in Cincinnati, we get all of our stuff together, and through Matthew 25 Ministries, we ship stuff to Haiti and Florida and wherever the natural disaster is. We pack up water and baby supplies and diapers and clothes, and we send it down. Like, you, the organized 365 community, helped that school in Houston after the horrible flooding when you bought the digital binder downloads. Like, we help each other. Push come to shove, we help each other. If you found out your neighbor was going hungry, you would take them food tonight. You would go straight to the store. You would buy them food. You would take it over. You would not accept them to say no, even if you barely even know their name. Like, as soon as you find a need, don't you find a way to fill it or help them fill it or find somebody who will fill it? Like, that is just human nature. Our human nature is to help each other. So this scarcity versus abundance mindset is, I'm going to keep this stuff just in case I need it someday, because what if I don't have enough money to buy it in the future, but I had enough now and then I gave it away? And I just encourage you to think about your own thinking about that and think, when has been a situation where you did need something and you didn't have the resources to pay for it, and somehow, some way, it was provided for you? I don't know how that was, but I know every single one of us can think of a time when we thought we weren't going to be able to do something, and somehow another human helped us accomplish that thing. And I think the more that we can recognize the good in others and know that what goes around comes around, and as much as you help and take care of other people, they will help and take care of you, and not worry about, you know, if I see social media as so much fun and what my friends are up to. But I know a lot of people see social media and they see people living a perfect life. I hope you never think that about me. I regularly show you my dishes or like things that I'm struggling with so that you know I am a real person. We are all real people. And I think when you start to think that there is scarcity and not enough and that you have to hold on to what you have, it is because you are forgetting that we're all the same. We are so much more alike each other than we are not like each other. So those are my thoughts on decluttering. I hope those have helped you think differently about the items that you're decluttering, why you're decluttering it, where you're getting hung up. And we answer questions like this all the time in the 100-day Facebook group. So normally I get through a whole bunch of questions that you ask. So if you're in the 100-day program and you're like, oh, those are really good questions, but my specific question is XYZ, post it in the Facebook group and I'll get to you next Tuesday. All right, guys, have a great week.